Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On Sabres podcast, your Friday, September 3rd edition of the show. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports joining you on today's episode solo. No Jordan Hanskin just yet. He's going through football season right now, kind of getting accustomed to high school football coaching down in North Carolina. So he'll join me more and more as the season approaches and the season gets closer. But we got some good stuff on today's episode. Casey Mittelstadt, Henry Okiharju, they signed identical contracts to stay with the Sabres for the next couple of seasons. They were both restricted free agents. So a look at both of those players. We were going to look at Mittelstadt anyway, because last episode we spent a lot of time talking about Dylan Cousins. And we were kind of going through the forwards and who's the most important to the future of the organization. And you get to Mittelstadt pretty quickly after Cousins. So we were going to talk about him anyway. And he just happened to sign his deal before we got to it, and lines up perfectly. So we still have Rasmus Dahlin. That is the restricted free agent. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. But a lot on Mittelstadt, a lot on Okiharju, two very important players to the future of the Sabres organization. And by the way, if you're listening to the podcast on the Odyssey app, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you might be listening, you can now watch us on YouTube. So if you want to watch the podcast, we will now bring it to you in a video element. So head over to YouTube, the Locked On Sabres YouTube channel. If you're looking for the link and you can't find it, you should be able to find it through the search bar pretty easily. But if you can't, head over to my Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports, and I'll have links for it up there. In fact, if you're watching, see, I'm new to this. I've already got to adjust the camera a little bit. I'm working on the backdrop. Maybe we'll throw some, I think you throw some shelves like right in here maybe. And then we could put a couple of, bobbleheads and hats and whatnot. Maybe throw a jersey up on there somewhere. But for now, we got a Buffalo themed wall. We got the picture, Buffalo Hates You Too. I've always liked that one. So that's what we got going on YouTube. That's what you're missing. So you should definitely head over and check it out. I'm so excited. I am so excited. I can't control myself. If you've listened to me on the podcast, if you've listened to me on WGR over the past, how long have I been harping on this? 3 years? I have been dying for international hockey with NHL players. And I've been crushing the National Hockey League for their unwillingness to send the players to the Olympics, but it's happening. It is finally happening. We found out today, it was originally reported by Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet, and within an hour, the league and the Players Association announced a deal with the IIHF that will send NHL players to Beijing for the Winter Olympics in 2022. Coming up, we're not that far away. Like this season, there is an Olympic break. So this is happening. There is some language that the NHL can get out of going to the Olympics. Two reasons. One, if the global, it really more it's about the US, Canada, and China, I would think. But the state of COVID-19 and the rates in the US, Canada, China, and whether or not they can get accurate data coming out of China, they have to feel comfortable with the state of the pandemic to send the players to Beijing. And if they get to a point where they don't feel comfortable because of COVID, then they can cancel. They can cancel that agreement. Now, the other way they can do it is if COVID causes a lot of rescheduling for this NHL season and they don't have enough time otherwise to make up those games. If that happens, then they will cancel the Olympic break and they will place those rescheduled games in the Olympic break. But just my view from it, you never know what's going to happen with vaccination rates and whatnot, but I'm optimistic that this is going to happen. It is now written. The league is intent on doing it. I think if they don't want to do it, Bettman doesn't want to do it, Bill Daly doesn't want to do it, but they're doing it. So I think that is a That's a clear indication that they are committed to it. They're committed to doing what the players want. And in this instance, the players want to go to the Olympics in China. So I believe it's going to happen because of the player motivation, the pressure that they put on the league. The league has clearly caved to it. They should have. They shouldn't have had to cave to it. They should recognize the value of going to the Olympics. But it's going to happen. I've defended the NHL once on this. I don't know where we stand on media rights agreements, but in the past, in fact, really up until now, the NHL has not been able to use footage from the Olympic Games as marketing. So, for example, Sidney Crosby's golden goal against Ryan Miller in the 2010 Winter Games, the NHL can't put that video of that goal on their website. They can't use it in commercials to help promote the game and promote Sidney Crosby. And to me, those basic media rights that everyone gets in sports, except for the Olympics, to me, that should have come with this deal. And I don't know enough about the deal to say that that isn't it. I read through the agreement for the press release that they sent out, and I did not see that included. But the main goal or the main point here is they're going to the Olympics. And it doesn't really affect the Sabres all that much. It's more of a league talking point. But who are the guys the Sabres would go with? By the way, before I get into that list, me and Jordan, this is going to be, I love doing these. We're going to do some projections on each Olympic team, at least the ones that matter. I'm not sure we need to do, like, China's in this tournament because they're the host country. I don't think we need to do China's Olympic hockey team. Maybe we'll stop at, like, Latvia. Maybe we'll do Switzerland, but all the big countries, the U.S., Canada, Sweden, Finland, the Czech Republic, Russia, we'll have Olympic projections for that coming up on the podcast in the coming days and weeks. But for the Sabres, Jack Eichel for Team USA, I actually think this affects him. I think it could affect him. Now, I imagine that he already wants to have surgery. Of course, he wants to get on with his playing career. He wants to get on the ice. He's training right now at the BioSteel camp in Montreal. He's skating with Kyle Poso. Kyle Poso confirmed on WGR the other day that he's been skating with Eichel. I wonder if the Olympics affects the timeline for him at all or affects the pressure on him to get surgery internally. Does he cave at some point to the surgery that the Sabres want him to get, the fusion surgery, because he wants to go play in the Olympics? And I think if I'm Jack, that's something that I would have to realistically consider. Even if I have been convinced by my own doctor that the fusion surgery is not the best option for me, if it's clear that the Sabres are not budging, that the league is not going to side with you, and there's no trade imminent, well, you want to get on with your playing career in the first place. But now that the Olympics is thrown in, we're talking, what, a 4 to 6 timeline for the fusion surgery, 4 to 6 month timeline. That means to make it for the Olympics, he's going to have surgery, if it's that surgery, relatively soon, if he wants any chance of being on that Olympic team. I don't know, though, that you can assume he will be on that Olympic team because of the surgery, and we just don't know if he can take contact, if he's even able to. So I wonder how the Olympics affect Eichel, because he would obviously be on Team USA if fully healthy. He's one of the best players in the world. He's one of the best centers in the world, and I'll be very disappointed. This is regardless of the Sabres. As a hockey fan that will be rooting like hell for Team USA to win gold in Beijing in February, I want Jack Eichel on that team. I want a healthy Jack Eichel. Part of the argument for me over the years to why this is the best American hockey team they could ever put on the ice, and why this is as close as they can ever get, or they have ever gotten, to Canada in terms of talent, is the center depth. It's the center depth. They have Matthews, they have Eichel, they have Dylan Larkin, and those three, 1, 2, 3, it's not as good as Canada because they're running out McDavid and Crosby and McKinnon. But Eichel, Matthews, Larkin is as close as the U.S. has ever gotten to Canada. They have typically been strong on the wings. They've been strong in net. They've never been that good at center. And Eichel is one third of that. In fact, he's more than one third of that because he's a much better player, in my opinion, than Dylan Larkin is. So it'll be a big loss if USA Hockey does not have Eichel on the ice in February, because you're going to want that Matthews-Eichel 1-2 punch. And he's one of the best players on the team, even regardless of his position. Other Sabres that'll probably play in the Olympics. Zemgus Girgensons actually helped Latvia qualify for the Olympics last week at the qualifiers. So he'll be on the Latvian team, I would imagine. I'd be stunned. There'd have to be an injury, really, for him to not be on that team. As of now, there's only one or two other Latvian players in the NHL, and he might be the only forward, if I'm remembering right. So Girgensons will be on Latvia. Rasmus Dahlin for Sweden. Well, that'll be an interesting one when me and Jordan mock Team Sweden, because I think Dahlin is going to be in consideration, but I'm not sure he's a gimme. But again, I haven't done a full dive into Sweden's blue line yet. But again, that's the fun part of this happening, is this agreement allows us to do that, allows us to really study, you know, okay, who's going to be on Sweden? Who are their defensemen? Does Dahlin make it? Similar question over in Finland. Finland oftentimes will have a couple of guys, maybe one or two on their blue line, a couple of forwards that play over in the Finnish league. But Henrijoki Harju is a NHL defenseman. I would argue he's a good NHL defenseman. More on him in a little bit. But I think it's conceivable that he's on Team Finland. But again, that's before doing a real deep dive on the Finnish hockey team. So overall, this is exciting. I am super fired up. I can't wait for it to happen, and it's, to me, going to be the most fun hockey of the year as someone that's covering the Sabres and watching the Sabres get ready for a season where they're probably going to be next to last in the league. This is going to be awesome, and it'll be something else to root for, where you could actually have some success, because the U.S. could actually win the gold medal. They won't be favored. Canada will be favored, but the U.S. could actually win the gold medal. By the way, speaking of the Sabres being, like, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. Over at betonline.com, in fact, BetOnline, if you are a big football fan, you've got college football this week, Florida State and Notre Dame. You've got Clemson and Georgia. And you've got all your college football spreads, all your college football props up at betonline.ag. You've got an NFL opening day super promo coming up next Thursday. That's less than a week away. If you make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys, and you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. The Sabres at BetOnline, they have released regular season point total over-unders for the NHL for this upcoming season. The Sabres have the lowest total in the National Hockey League at 65.5. Now, when these spreads opened, when these lines opened, I think it was 2-3 days ago, the Coyotes were below the Sabres at 67.5, and the Sabres were at 69.5. Since then, the Sabres have dropped by 4 points. I don't know that anything has happened for that to happen, like on the ice. I would imagine BetOnline was getting a lot of bets on the Sabres under, and they moved the line accordingly down to 65.5. So at the moment, the Sabres have the lowest point total in the NHL. So BetOnline, the sports books and the bettors, they believe the Sabres are going to be the worst team in hockey coming up this season. By the way, if you're wondering about Stanley Cup odds, if you really care about that, the Sabres are tied for last at plus 20,000 with the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Detroit Red Wings, the Anaheim Ducks, and the Arizona Coyotes. But yeah, bet online. Again, use the promo code NFL100 if you're looking for that Cowboys Buccaneers bet. From football, basketball, boxing, they have your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Don't forget, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Today, I also want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, there's no annual contract, so stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. All right, one other news item before we jump into Mittelstadt and Joki Haru, who signed their contracts yesterday. We've got some news over in Ottawa. A report that Brady Tkachuk and his camp are frustrated with contract extension talks between them and the Ottawa Senators. Now, he is a restricted free agent. And the exact wording is that Tkachuk is trying to stay positive, but doesn't understand why it's taking so long. Sean Simpson of TSN says, I asked what he was had been offered, and it was termed they have not received a legitimate offer from the Senators. The Senators have not given him a legitimate offer. This is a team, mind you, that, like the Sabres, is below the cap floor. And the offseason's over. I mean, we're ready for training camp. We're looking at PTOs around the league for vet minimum contracts. If you're below the cap floor, and the only way you're getting above it really is to sign restricted free agents. The Sabres are, well, we'll get to it in a little bit, but they got to sign Dahlin to get to the cap floor. The Senators, likewise, they need to sign Drake Batherson and they need to sign Brady Tkachuk to a big contract to get above the cap floor. They have $28 million in space, by the way. So salary cap is no problem at all for the Senators. And this is a great player. I don't understand what is taking them so long. He is easily their most valuable forward in the entire organization. He is 21 years old. He has 125 points in 198 games. Last year, a little bit of a jump in his offensive totals, 36 points, 17 goals in 56 games played. It's about a 30-goal pace. The guy gives you a lot more than offense. I mean, he's like his brother in a lot of ways, Matthew. He is kind of a rat on the ice. He gets you PO'd when you're playing against him. He's one of the hardest guys to play against in that way. And he is big. He's a big power forward. 6'4", 211 pounds, plays great in his own end. He's just a great all-around player. And maybe, you know what, let me qualify that. He's a very good all-around player. I think to be a great player, you got to put up better than, you know, what was it again, 36 points in 56 games. That's good offense. But you got to do more than that. I think with better teammates, which he hasn't really had in Ottawa, then maybe he would see a jump in that offensive production. But this guy is a gimme for Ottawa. They're having issues signing him. Okay, where does my mind immediately go? Where does many Sabre fans' minds immediately go? How about a Jack Eichel trade? Right? I mean, that's going to happen with Eichel anytime you see any rumor, anything like this about a player this valuable around the league is, can I get my hands on him in a Jack Eichel trade? Because we are pretty much, you know, just waiting around for that trade to happen. And we're hoping it goes as well as possible. This would be about as well as it could go, is a disgruntled player in another organization like Brady Tkachuk that is 21 years old, that is 6'4", that is already a productive player in the league. To me, you need something else. I mean, you can't do that one for one. But if Ottawa wants to put some salary on the books and they don't feel comfortable giving Tkachuk this big contract yet, take Jack Eichel for 5 years at $10 million. And you got him. Ottawa's never had a center like that. I mean, Spezza is close. Jason Spezza in his prime probably was that level. But, I mean, they're not getting their hands on a player like that anytime soon. They don't have a guy like that in their organization. Tim Stützle is an interesting prospect, German prospect. I would love to get Stützle and Tkachuk, but that sounds like fantasy land. Tkachuk plus a first maybe would be, if I'm the Sabres, I'm calling. I'm trying to be proactive about this, and I don't think that has to come off as desperate. If you read today and you find out that Brady Tkachuk is frustrated with the Senators and contract negotiations, if I'm Kevin Adams, first thing I'm doing, I'm picking up the phone. I'm calling Pierre Maguire, seeing if I can get a trade worth through him first. And if not, then I'm calling the GM. And then I am trying to get a deal done with Brady Tkachuk involved. And I don't care that I'm sending him in the division. Ottawa's not good anyway. You're really worried about Ottawa? Can we just make the playoffs? I don't care about the division at this point in time. So little interesting tidbit around the league about Brady Tkachuk, who, by the way, I would have a little spoiler alert. I know we have a Team USA projections. This will be the first one that me and Jordan do. I would have Brady Tkachuk on my team. He'd probably be like a fourth liner for me, maybe even a healthy scratch, but bottom six player on a star team like that, Brady Tkachuk is perfect, perfect. And he'll be on my Team USA. It's a little spoiler for that. Before we get into Henry Okiharju and before we get into Casey Mittelstadt, who both signed identical contracts on Thursday, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more on the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. This episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. A lot of great flavors for Built Bar. My favorite, the German chocolate, cookies and cream. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not a mint guy, but the grasshopper bar for Built Bar, I think I have one or two boxes in my cupboard right now, and they are all grasshopper. They are delicious, and I mean, they're as close to a candy bar as you are going to get, but they're healthy. They taste like a candy bar, but they are healthy. Check out the macros, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180. You're looking at only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to builtbar.com, go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDNHL and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNHL for 15% off at built.com. All right. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports. Again, if you're listening to the podcast in podcast form, because it is a podcast, we are also now a video podcast. So if you want to watch us do the show and you're looking for a video component, check Locked On Sabres on our YouTube channel. Thursday, we find out, a couple hours apart, Casey Mittelstadt and Henry Okiharju. They signed identical 3-year, $7.5 million contracts. That's an average annual cap hit of $2.5 million. Both were restricted free agents. The value here is you can't beat it. Both players are promising. To me, Okiharju is more promising at this point because Mittelstadt has a lot more game tape out there right now of being a below average NHL forward. But he came a long way last season. 27 goal pace last year under Don Granato, a 46% expected goals for share. The high danger scoring chances went up from 8.59 in 19 and then to 7.38 in 20 to 11.51 last season. There was a lot more offense being generated. He was a lot better, more confident at carrying the puck. He was holding his own along the walls and in those nitty-gritty areas in the corners, and that really had been the places and the areas of his game he had been pushed around in the first couple of seasons in the league. So he got looked stronger. He looked more confident. He looked faster. He was not fanning on the puck nearly as much, which was something I was very critical of him in his first two seasons, always fanning on the puck. The shot kind of came around. The finishing ability. We always, I think, projected Mittelstadt to be more of a playmaker in the National Hockey League. But last year, he was scoring goals. I mean, it was never like barred down from like the wall. But if you gave him an opportunity in the high slot or in the faceoff circle, he was finishing last season. Now, 5-on-5, he only had 5 goals. And maybe that is a little bit worrisome. 5-on-5 to only have 5 goals on the season. 3 more goals on the power play. So good totals, better totals than he's had. But I think you're going to want more. You're going to want more from him next season. He was on a 40-goal pace last year, 40-point pace, excuse me, even with those games that Ralph Krueger was burying him on the depth chart at the beginning of the season. So I guess because of his draft status and because of how thin you are at the center position in the organization, because really it's Cousins, it's Mittelstadt, and who else? I mean, Isaac Rosen said with me on WGR that he wants to try to play center, but he hasn't done it. He's a winger. He was drafted as a winger. I don't really know if I have another name here to just throw at you. I think you want Mittelstadt to become that number two center. And I think you're going to want him to be a little bit better than he was last season for that. But I'll say this. It's not going to be a zero. The Mittelstadt pick is not going to be a zero because it looked like the guy might not even be an NHL player. Last year, 40-point player, that's fine. That's good. That's a guy, hey, you could throw him on your third-line wing if you need at some point and watch him be a bit of a secondary scorer. But I think you still would be hopeful that there's one more level that Mittelstadt can jump and become like a legit number two center in the league. I'm not betting on that happening. I would not be planning on that happening if I'm the Sabres. I would be trying to find a center in the draft next season that can be my number one. Cousins be my number two, and Mittelstadt either slide into the third line center spot or a top six winger spot. But the contract here is nothing. $2.5 million. You had to pay somebody anyway. The salary cap's not going to be a problem the next couple of years. You're going to get good value out of this player and give him every opportunity he can. Give him ice time this year. I'm sure Don Granato will. He empowered those players last year to get more opportunities. And he's one of these guys that we will be glued to this season because wins and losses are, you're not going to care really. And unless they stun us and are in a playoff race. But it'll be individuals we're watching, and Mittelstadt will be one of those individuals. And then the Sabres signed Henry Okiharju. Same deal. 3 years, $2.5 million. A lot of the same things I just said on Mittelstadt, I would say are true about Okiharju. They just kind of happened at different times. Mittelstadt struggled out of the gates in his NHL career, and he came around last year. Okiharju started strong, and then under Ralph Krueger last year, especially at the beginning, was playing very poorly. And then once Don Granato took over and he paired Okiharju with Dahlin, then you really started to see his game come back and started to see him produce again. His expected goals for percentage was 47.5%. Not bad. So I like the player a lot. I've always liked the player. I've always talked him up. I think he's a top four defenseman for the future of this organization. He should be on the top pair next year with Rasmus Dahlin. Again, I would keep those two together in perpetuity. They work. They fit together. Okiharju is a steady, stay-at-home defenseman. And Dahlin is a guy that you have to let him, you got to let him fly around the ice. You got to let him take chances. And for that, you're going to need somebody that you can rely on being back. Okiharju is that. And he's not just a defensive defenseman. He can skate. He can carry the puck a little bit. It's not his forte, but he can do it. And more importantly, the guy is a great passer. Out of his own end, tape-to-tape passes right on the stick of his forwards going through the neutral zone. The number one trait I look for in defensemen, Henry Okiharju possesses. Love the player. He's not flashy. He's not going to have a highlight reel goal almost probably ever in his career. And he's not going to score much at all in his career. He's not going to play on the power play. But he's one of those guys that you just stick on your second pair or even your first pair, give him 19 to 21 minutes, and hopefully you just never notice him on the ice because he's doing his job. That's the kind of guy I see Okiharju being. So I love the player, and I'm glad the Sabres did it. They're $8 million still under the cap floor, and that is with Jack Eichel on the books. I wonder if Dahlin, two-part comment here. I wonder if Dahlin is going to get $8 million. Are they planning it that way? Are they planning on him getting that big an extension right now? If I were the Sabres, I would be hunting for that. $8 million, maybe I would go for $7 million, but $8 million may be more realistic for what Dahlin would take, because if you're going to get him to sign a long-term deal now, you're going to have to pay him as though he's hit his ceiling or close to it. But I think there is a higher ceiling than an $8 million player there. He could be a $10 million player. That's why I'd want to pay him now, take the risk when I don't have any cap ramifications. And that'll help you get to the cap floor. And I think that's probably the Sabres' plan to get to the cap floor. Otherwise, wouldn't they have made other moves by now? And they're also just looking at the fact they're $8 million or the cap floor. That's with Jack Eichel on the books. This team is operating as though Jack Eichel's on this team this year. That's how they're operating. They have planned the salary cap as though Jack Eichel will be on the salary cap. I don't think an Eichel trade is coming anytime soon. And this is another clue as to that being the case. All right, me and Jordan will do a USA roster projection. We are planning actually to record that Friday night, tonight. So I'm going to release that Saturday morning for you weekend goers. It's really going to count as Monday's show, though. We're going to kick back into three episodes a week. And then as preseason starts later in the month, we're going to get back to five a week for those that are looking for the podcast. So just an update on our schedules and what we're going to be looking at for the coming month. At Sneaky Joe Sports to follow me on Twitter. Again, check out our YouTube channel, Locked On Sabres. You can watch the podcast, which going forward will, for the most part, be in video form as well as audio. Thanks for listening. It's been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.